name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
So, Jesus was at the beginning of his ministry, you might say, and he was, not only had he gathered the 12 apostles, but he was performing miracles, small little miracles, healing the leprosy, healing the blind, healing sick, and the various people he was healing. And so his fame spread abroad, you might say. People became aware that something really incredible was happening, was occurring. And but a lot of people gather just because, or some people may have gathered just simply because, well, let's go see what's happening over there in Capernaum. Let's see, I heard of Jesus. He's doing all kinds of stuff, you know. They may have not been totally sincere in their hearts coming. But there were so many that nobody could come into the house. And the people and the paralytic who was really sick, who really needed the Lord, nobody was budget an inch. I mean, if you've ever tried to get into some kind of a situation, well, I did one time. One time when I was in Russia, I was there on Palm Sunday. And I was at Stretinsky Monastery, and there were literally so many people all the way out the back of the door of the church that we're trying to come in. And so finally this fellow who worked for the patriarch said, "Let the priest in, let the priest in." So then all of a sudden, it's like the sea parted, and I was able to walk up to my area. But my friends who were with me, they cut it off right there. They couldn't get in. And it was kind of an interesting experience. At that time, but anyway, just to say that nobody was budging, you know, all the way out the door, they weren't budging, and so the people, the handlers, you might say, of this man with palsy who was basically paralyzed, they were desperate, and so they did something that would seem unthinkable. They climbed up on the roof, pulled the bed up. You know that they had ropes because the fishermen and all that. And they pulled the bed up. And that not only did they get the bed up on the roof, but then they had to get them down inside where the people are, where Jesus was. So they ripped off the roof. Imagine someone ripping off the roof of your house and just to let a bed through. But that's how it was. It was kind of an amazing thing to think about. And so as soon as the bed came down and the man of the palsy was there, he was just, you know, okay, I'm here. And the Lord, you know, basically saw that he was a man of tremendous faith. And that the people that were helping him were people of total faith, that they would risk everything for this man to be healed of his disease. And they believed. And so Jesus says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And immediately there was in the group, you know, some murmuring. Who has the right to forgive sins? Only God has the right to forgive sins. Who is this man, you know, forgiving sins? And Jesus perceived their murmurings very clearly. And he says, "What is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk?" So he said, just so that you would know that the Son of God, Son of Man, has the ability to forgive sins. And so he says, "Take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the paralytic got up, took his bed, walked out the door, and he was healed, completely healed. Now, if we think about this, we think about this process, we too want to be healed of our maladies. We too want to be healed. We mostly repeat our sinful behaviors over and over and over again. And yet, we forget what was this process for this paralytic. They had to labor. It was no easy task getting a bed up on top of a roof. It was no easy task ripping it down, taking the shingles off the roof. No easy task, lowering it down so he didn't fall out of the bed. They labored. They worked. We want to be healed of our sinfulness, our diseases of sorts, just because we show up. Just because we wake up in the morning. We want God just to heal us. Come on, Lord, just heal me. But as far as laboring in the vineyard of the Lord and laboring for salvation, that's work. Jesus himself worked. His apostles all worked. Paul was a tent maker. They labored for the Lord. They labored in the vineyard of the Lord. They asked God to heal them, and God healed them. They asked God to raise someone from the dead, like Tabitha, and she was raised from the dead, Peter. They didn't come by this authority, and this sort of authority, by not laboring in the vineyard, working spiritually hard. Now, can you ever earn your way to heaven? No, you cannot earn your way to heaven, because there's no possibility. But because God paved the way for us through his own death, resurrection, and ascension, and because of that, he gave us the ability also to overcome the diseases in our hearts and minds and souls. He gave that to us. It was his present to us. But we, brothers and sisters, have to be willing to labor and not just expect it all to come to us like, well, just by osmosis or something. Doesn't work that way. You have to labor, toil, sweat, pray, fast, give alms. You have to be engaged with Jesus Christ. You have to be engaged, like, and never, and not leave his side. It's not harsh what he asks of us. It's not harsh. It's really just mercy. We do so little, and we get such great blessing from him in all that we do and all that we think and all that we say. Our abilities to do good, to even have anything in our life worth thinking about, is because of his goodness and his holiness and his blessing and love and sustaining us as he does. If we ever start to think that we deserve it, or that we've earned it, or that we've got this by some means, then you're just fooling yourself, because you can't get it by any means that you could ever employ. You know, we're in the middle of Great Lent. We're at the end of the second week. Today is the Sunday of St. Gregory Palamas. And by the way, those insights that I just shared with you are his insights for this day. St. Gregory Palamas. He gave a sermon on this very day before the Sundays were dedicated to him. And they were dedicated to him because he labored. He was a great, great ascetic, a great saint, and he went up against a man who did not believe in the Jesus prayer, basically, the hesychastic prayer. Did not believe that. He called this man, Varlaam, called people navel dwellers. And he didn't believe that the grace of God, the energies of God, could come and could manifest in such a way as to help us, you know, stay connected to Jesus Christ. He didn't do that. And so he led others astray as well, Varlaam. But Saint Gregory Palamas, he, on the other hand, was willing to suffer. He was put in prison for 3 years for his steadfastness with the energies of God, and for his steadfastness with the Jesus prayer in defending it. 3 years he served a prison sentence. 1 year he was banished away. And what did he get? Paradise. He got paradise. And not just paradise, but he gave us this incredible gift, and he defined it in such as a way that made it so clear that this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, is a clear prayer that is perfect in every way. And if we just focus our mind on our heart, and we say in our heart, in our soul, we say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We say that, we are immediately in touch with Jesus Christ, because he is everywhere present. He's in us, he's around us, he's everywhere. And because of that, we have hope. We have hope that we can overcome the addictions that bind us to this world. The very addictions, our dedication to wanting things, our dedication to lustful fantasies, our dedication to all the things of robbing and stealing and lying and cheating, all those things, he can help, we can be helped through this prayer life that Jesus calls us to, prayer without ceasing, this hesychastic practice that left the West, by the way, left the West. They dismissed themselves from it when they followed the teachings of Balaam and others in the West. It was no longer practiced in the West. But in the Eastern Orthodox Church, it has stayed until this very day. And now others have caught on to it. You know, people from the West have caught on to it, this practice of the Jesus Prayer. And so we teach and we preach that one, we must stay in communion with God. And to stay in communion with God means we must pray without ceasing. And when we diverge from this path of pray without ceasing, then we have to then come back, you know, start again. Pray, Lord have mercy on me, a sinner. We keep this going until our last breath in this world, brothers and sisters. It is a path to salvation. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. If you break the fast, if you stop the prayer, then what do? Start again. You don't stop. If you break the fast, start the next meal. Don't let a moment pass where you just, okay, I'm going to fast. No meat, no milk, no dairy, nothing with a backbone, no fish. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray, Lord, I'm going to pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, I'm back again, Lord. I'm back again. I promise I will stick with it this time. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, oh, something else got my attention. Ha, I'm back again. But that's what it's like. It's because we are so distracted and so easily distracted from prayer and thinking of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we actually, you know, it's almost comical, that we actually, you have to like, it's like a yo-yo. You know, you ever play with a yo-yo and it goes down and it comes up, you know? And sometimes it goes down and it just stays down. And then you have to wrap it up again, do it again, get it perfect. And that's the idea with, in a sense, just in a small, kind of vague sense, that's an idea that, you know, we have to stay focused. That's what the church teaches. That's what the paralytic did. He was focused on being saved. He was focused on being healed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing could come between him and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not people, not buildings, not roofs. Nothing could keep him from having the healing presence of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of work done after he was healed. I'm sure they had to put up a new roof. And they had to, like, oh, my gosh, the roof is good to replace the roof. Hope it's not raining tonight or something. But just to say, they didn't care because they wanted it more than anything else. They wanted that grace, that blessing. And God healed him, not just in body, but in soul and body. And he forgave him all his sins. And that's what he promises to each and every one of us if we follow him. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.